My last two, actually the last three presentations that I have given, last Sabbath, and the first one was on the last day of the Days of Unleavened Bread. They are online, and you can download those studies to yourself, and you can pretty well go through it. That's a little bit laborious, and though I had been troubled this year, if I use the word troubled, that it seems to be more driving to me this year than any other year that I've ever have in the studying of this day, that is the day of Shavuot. There is a lot of things to talk about, but what I want to do, I have to kind of finish off where we were last week, so we have a conclusion to the matter. A lot of you have missed my presentation last week, and the best way you could do is probably get online and download that the printouts. They are available for you. What you have and what Bill, what David's handing out to you is a summary. And this summary has a sequence of the months, okay? And it has a sequence of what's called the events. You should have both, one of each kind of paper, is that correct? All right, we'll go real briefly through this at this point in time. Because I have a lot of things to cover today. We'll talk about, first of all, page one, if I'm not mistaken, is this one? Or is it the months?
That's page two.
Okay, let's go to page one then. And I explained this before in detail, and you have to kind of go through. And the studies is basically centered around the book of Exodus. And the precise moment, and journey starts from all odd places, starts from the 15th day of the second month. The 15th day of the second month, you see, I got them in red, and you'll see that it's marked in red. And down that column, it's down here, it says the Sabbath. So we're looking at the Sabbath days, the seventh day, and we're seeing these things listed. Now, I do not have the 10th marked in red. For those who do not know, the 10th was the day in which you set aside the lamb for the Passover. In the future, God willing, I'll explain to you in precise detail, because I'm one of those kind of people, of the timing day by day by day by day process of the death of Jesus Christ. And how it correlates day by day by day by day as is written here. But that's going to have to come at a later time. But I want you to know, on the first day, it says there, the 17th, as you see marked, and I got on the mic, says, the first wave sheaf. We'll talk about that a little bit today. And the 24th of the first month, it says this crossed the sea, the Red Sea, all right? And you'll learn that when you read my other reports, if you get them online. And then on the second month, we have the 12 wells and the 7 palms. Now, the reason why these are listed, because in the book of Exodus, it lists precisely the campsites where God stopped. Now, you can travel for a while and you need a break. You may sleep that night, but you'll get up and move on. But when God stops, that is a Sabbath day. And you can kind of parallel that, and you can look at it, and you can examine. There's exactly 8 Sabbaths. I'll talk about that in a little bit today, but it has to do with another numbering system, which we are going to talk about today. And what I try to prove to you, and I tried to prove to you last time, is that there are precisely seven. Precise campsites after they cross the Red Sea. There's a total of 10 campsites total, but there is precisely only 7 after they cross the Red Sea. And it's important to know and understand why that number 7 is significant. because it is the seven Shabbats, or 7 weeks, when you actually begin the count. Now, in the book of, we'll go in today's later second session today, I'll go into and do more of a detailed explanation of the rest. But on this particular sheet here, you're going to see on the 10th day of the first month, it was a Sabbath, picking of the lamb, killing of the lamb on the 14th day between the two evenings. Now, it's very important to know that's what it says in Hebrew, and it's not in the evening, it's between the two evenings, and old Hebrew did not have a word for afternoon. And when was Jesus killed? Between the two evenings, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Direct parallel to the very same exact killing. And I know that we have, we're not going to go on that today because that's another issue. But if you understand that principle and that concept, then you have a parallel. And then the eating of the Passover actually happened on the 15th day. That is the evening, or the Erev of the 15th. Remember, it's the evening and morning that make a day, not morning and evening that makes a day in biblical writing, right? Mm-hmm. We understand that. So when you took the Passover, more than likely, most of you finally got it eaten by the time the sun went down, didn't you? But you had to prepare for it on the 14th, or that daylight period of time. That's a little bit not too hard to understand. You know, when you kill a lamb, the blood has to come out. They have to clean it. They have to gut it. They have to take skin off it. And they have to roast it. And it takes time. So it's very clear. The scripture says to kill it, not eat it, on the 14th. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. This is just a rundown. Now, also on the 15th, we have it written in Exodus that they camp at a place called Sukkot. I'd explain this. Doesn't mean the Feast of Sukkot. It was a territory or an area called Sukkot. And they camped there, and they stayed there for that day, the daylight period of the 15th. All right, they came out of Egypt that night, and they went to and stayed at Sukkot on the 15th. What else happened on the 15th? Do you remember what I said last week?
Sanctified the firstborn.
Sanctification of the firstborn. And that's very important to know, for we need to understand the sanctification of the firstborn to have a picture of what today is. All right? There is a connection, a direct connection from the 15th to Shavuot. All right? We'll get to that today. This is just a brief rundown, all right? And then on Etam, on the 17th, they were at the wilderness of Etam. I think I put that in on the calendar, and I said it was wilderness, though I did not, did I? Yes, I have. Did I have the word wilderness there on the calendar?
No. No.
Okay, now what does Etam mean?
Edge.
The what?
Edge of the wilderness, or edge of the sea, or
edge of the border of the sea. Etam means the border of the sea. And when you read in even in the book of Numbers, well, they already had crossed the Red Sea. They were in the Etam. They're on the shores, on the coast of the Red Sea. That's all that word means. They didn't walk across the desert in the middle of the Sinai desert, Sinai Peninsula, I should say, in the middle of nowhere. They didn't cross that. Because that's not what Etam means, or Etam means. Etam doesn't mean the Sinai Peninsula. It means the border that goes all the way around the Red Sea. So in Egypt, you had the west side of Egypt, I use that word right now, is Etam, and then across from there, Sinai Peninsula, is another border, it's called Etam, and on the east side of Sinai Peninsula, it's called Etam, and when you cross over to the, and you're looking on the west side of Saudi Arabia, it's Etam. So that's what that word means. Clear? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's very important to know that, because it helps us to understand and locate the course and the direction in which God led these people. We won't go through that today. Then he went to Pahahurut. What is Baal wrote?
Mouth of two rivers.
Good. You remember that. Mouth of two rivers or two fjords. And when you're on the east side of the Sinai Peninsula, you will see precisely the location of two of those rivers coming and dipping into the Red Sea. And, you know, you have to kind of look at the map very carefully. Almost you have to have a topographical map in order to see those two rivers. Now, don't think about the big, huge Nile, and don't think about the east. Just two rivers. They're small. They're not big. They're just small ones. They empty into what's called the Red Sea. Then after they crossed over, they went to Mahara. What happened to Mahara?
Bitter water.
Or Mara. Bitter waters. How did bitter waters become able to eat? They put a bush in it, right? A piece of stick in it, or whatever it was. We won't go on that today. That's another story. But I want to show you the secrets. Then they went by what's called the Red Sea. This is found in the book of Numbers. It's not found in Exodus. It's found in the book of Numbers. They went by the Red Sea, or the Etam. It says very clearly, the Etam along the Red Sea. All right? Yes. Sorry, what?
Did you skip Elim?
Oh, I skipped Elim. I'm sorry. Yeah. First month went to Elim. I can't remember what I wrote down there, what happened there. Oh, the 12 wells. Yeah, 12 wells and the 70 palms. That have very significant meaning, but we can't go there today. Okay, then the Red Sea, then the wilderness of sin. Here, the wilderness of sin, or Zin, Z, starts with a Z, or Z, T-Z, T-Z-I-N, or T-Z-I-N. It's not sin like we think of sin. It should have a T-Z on it, a Zin. And there we have precisely the 15th day of the second month and the 22nd of the second month, specifically named. And precisely had to do with the time of the manna. Now, in my article, when you get it, you'll read, you'll see my notes that the counting of the Omer is a red herring. All right? It misleads you from what God wants you to count. Because you'll find out in the 15th day of the second month is when they began to count the Omer. But what do they count? One Omer for that person, and two Omers if he had a wife, three Omers if he had children, or four. He had the Omer, or the counting of how much Omer his family was supposed to receive on a daily basis. Now, once again, if you've learned something from others about counting of the Omer and have spiritual concepts with it, stick with it. All right, accept it. But I'm telling you that the Bible does not tell us to count the Omer. It tells us to count Shabbats, specifically. And today we'll get into more detail of another number he tells us to count. There's two things, two counties taking place. Then, what we'll talk about today is that's where we left off. Okay, so we're going to talk about that today. Before I get my notes. This is in Exodus, the 17th chapter. If you wish to turn there, you can turn there. And I'm going to read from, I made a copy of a Pacific area that I wanted to talk with today. So I'm going to read it today out of this particular copy. That's because I printed it out. It makes it easier. The printing's bigger. I can see it better. I'll be honest with you. So, 17th chapter. And we'll begin with the first one. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandments of the Lord. Very important now, according to the commandments of the Lord, not according to the commandments of Moses. And pitched camp in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people chided Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto him, "Why do you chide ye me? Why do ye tempt the Lord?" All right, so now there's no water again. Now, how many times there was no water, then there was water, then there was no water, then there was water. Now, God works very carefully with the using of water because it has to do a specific meaning. And this specific time, we're going to find out more precisely of what took place. Okay. And the people thirsted after for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Why is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses said unto him, "Go." Moses said unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do to these people? They're going to kill me." They're at this point that they are irritated, mad, upset, angry, and wanting to, in a sense, take Moses' life. I don't know if you ever noticed that before. It's not just a statement he's making. They're going to kill him. Okay. And then what did God say? He says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people." Go ahead of them. Now they were at Rephidim. The people were camped at Rephidim. And it happened to have been a Sabbath day. Because that's where God said, camp. All right, so they camped. Now he's telling them, go ahead. I want you to go ahead, Moses. I want you to go advance to them. But I want you to take who with you? He wants you to take all of the elders of Israel. So at least 12 of them, right? Because God is going to do something here now. Now he says, and thy rod which you smote the river, or actually the Red Sea, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall water come that the people may drink. Now, what's so fascinating about this, if some of you have had that CD, or DVD, is that the one, of The Search for the Mountain of God, there's a very fascinating thing about it. They have found the rock in Saudi Arabia, and they found the big gorge that the river made. And they found the monuments. They found the large, one of the largest sacrifices of altars there ever were. They found that, and it's documented in its history. Now, why has God not put it in the hands of the world? I don't know, but one way to preserve it is give it to the sons of Esau, or the sons of Ishmael, who hate, but they're also terrified to destroy it. Okay, it's a very psychological thing. What's so funny about this, we are coming to understand and the picture of what's taking place, and it's great to know. We have this wonderful new knowledge that's come through in the last 10 years or 15 years that helps us to be able to have a good picture of what took place. Now we keep on going. You're going to know, I'm going to move real quickly now. By the way, at this particular point, there is what's called the ninth place they have camped. Not the tenth one, the ninth one. I told you there's 10 total campsites from the time they left Egypt. Not from the time they crossed the Red Sea. But from the time they left Egypt. 10 is an interesting number, right? God uses numbers. He uses the number 7 to tell us about something here. And after the break, we'll learn something about another number. All right. But first things first. We're going to move rapidly to the 19th chapter of Exodus. 19th chapter of Exodus. In your calendar, I want you to look at this for a moment. Because there's something there that we have to kind of look at and see a picture of. Because in both in the Hebrew writings and what logic tells you and what Hebrew scholars are telling you, it doesn't jive if it says what it seems to say. Now let's read it. I'll explain to you in a minute. Verse 1. We'll start there. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the selfsame day they were in the wilderness of Sinai. Now they're going to be camped at Mount Sinai or before the mountain. This is their last campsite. All right, they weren't camping at the mountain of Horov. Or Horeb, the one that water came from, they camped at another location called Sinai. The mountain of Sinai, not the peninsula of Sinai. We have to get our mind off of that peninsula because that's not where it was. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to kind of go back in history. You have to go back in documentative history what the word Sinai was and where it was referred to and what area of the world that word, that nation, that area was in Saudi Arabia and not in what we call Egypt. All right? We got that part? Okay, well, any questions? You got to let me know. For they had departed from Rephidim and had gone to the desert of Sinai and had pitched camp in the wilderness there, and Israel camped before the mountain. Meaning the mountain where God now, we know what took place, right? 20th chapter, down comes the Ten Commandments. This is why we have this banner here. It's a symbolism of the Ten Commandments or the Ten Dvarim. So those that didn't know, what does Dvarim mean? Where does it come from? What's its origin? Comes from arranged. So when God speaks, His word is in order. It's in an arrangement.
What was the word?
Devarim. Yeah, the book of Deuteronomy is called Devarim. It is translated as a word, and most cases, in other cases, it's translated as a commandment. In other places, it's translated as I can't remember right offhand, but it's a very common, it's a very common thing it uses, a command, order, a law, or a statement. That word is used quite often. But the arrangement, the word really comes from the basic root word of arrange. Now, God is, when He speaks, unlike when I speak, things can be in disarray. But when God speaks, it's very much in line. It's set in a precise order, in precise fashion, in a precise manner. And that's why when you look at the book of Exodus and you start looking at the location where God said to camp, to camp, to camp, to camp, to camp, He had a precise arrangement. He had a precise order. It wasn't happenstance. Okay, we had got that in our minds. God is not a careless God who just says, oh, they're getting tired, I better give them a break. He kept moving them. And moving to places they didn't want to go, but He moved them there to test them out. What are you made up of? What's your value? What's your worth? Are you going to hear what I had to say, or are you going to be complaining? Here they're still complaining, right? Now, here we see the Sinai in the third month. The previous patterns which we have studied, all of the other locations were always on a Shabbat when they camped. It wasn't on a Wednesday. It wasn't on a Sunday. It wasn't on any of it. It was always on a Shabbat. Seven precise ones after leaving or after crossing the Red Sea. You understand that? Precisely seven. That's why it's the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Sevens. All right? We'll get to that a little bit later. I hope you understand that, though. Now, here's the obvious, because people says if it's on the very self-same day they left Egypt, then it would have been on the 15th day of the third month. Look at your calendar. What day the 15th day of the third month land on?
Second Monday.
It's on a Monday. All right. Now, we'll have to clarify this, because there's something which we'll do research this afternoon, but it has to do with the number 50. There is no way you can get 50 counting from 15th back to any location that they left Egypt. You can't get 50. And 50 is a precise, important number in Shavuot. We will go to this afternoon. I mean, after this first session. Now, as we keep on reading, that's just logic telling you. Now, all the Hebrew rabbi scholars say it wasn't the 15th day of the third month. They'll tell you it was the 6th day of the third month. Look at your calendar. They will tell you, scholars, Jewish scholars, will tell you that it was on the 6th day of the third month. Look at your calendar. What day the 6th day land on?
Shabbat.
A Shabbat. Okay. This is the reason why the Jewish world, rabbinic world, keeps the 6th day of the third month in memory of this, but not in memory of the 50. It's very important that 50 is an issue, and we'll talk about that after the next session. Have I lost anybody? Jeff?
Might be good to point out at this point where and how you came at the beginning of this calendar and the arrangement of the days to the days of the week that they are. For example, why do you have the first day of the first month starting on the fourth day of the week?
All right. This has to do with rabbinic research. Orthodox rabbinic research. And they nail it. That's what I'm telling you. They nail it. They nail it by knowing the 10th landed on a Sabbath. When the 10th lands on the Sabbath of the first month, what is that day called?
Gadol Shabbat.
The only time that word is ever used is when the 10th day of the first month lands upon a Shabbat. All right. Jewish scholars know the 10th day landed on a Shabbat. From their research. So I'm going to take that as true. I don't think the Jews are very careful in their research. Don't have a problem with them. Why they change things is a different issue. Why they cover up the bread is a marker of a change. All right? We won't go there. We'll explain that middle later after we have the bread and the wine. We're going to do something quite different today, by the way. And you'll just have to, I'm going to catch everybody off guard today of the tradition, which we normally do. We're going to do an untraditional thing today when it comes to the bread and the wine. All right? Does that kind of answer your question? Now, you could go on, you got to go to rabbinic, orthodox rabbinic writings to nail it down. You can't get away with it any other way. Yes?
So is the 10th day of the first month the peg on which...
Everything is centered on.
Okay.
All right. Where was I at now? Yes.
Is that not the day Messiah rode into Jerusalem?
Yeah, that's the day he rode into Jerusalem, and I haven't not yet been able to. I mean, not today. I don't have that opportunity to prove that, which is written in day by day by day per day per count by John. John named it day by day by day by day by day. And you can't get off of that point. He wrote in on the 10th day of the first month. And the rabbis were doing something, or the high priests were doing something very specific that particular day. What were they doing? Give you a hint. It had to do with the fans. What was laid before Jesus as he walked in?
Palm trees.
Palm fan. The fan represents something. Why they wave it. Why they have that fashion. It's not this way. They wave it this way. Why? To bring forth wind. Representation of spirit. And precisely the spirit of the Messiah. We won't go there. This is documented. You have to go some research and history. I don't want to bore you with this today. I just want to get on to what I want to talk about. Okay. Well, let's continue on. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain and said, Thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, ye shall see what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. All right. That's a weird statement. Was there an eagle? There wasn't an eagle. Okay. What did he mean when he says eagle's wings? What did the Messiah say when he said about Jerusalem? He says, I have wound you like a hen to bring you in under my wings. All right. It's a Hebrew word, which we have been translated as birds. Doesn't mean birds. It does mean that it lofts up and then surrounds. It covers. That's what the Hebrew word, when it comes out of the verb bird, what do they do with their wings? They come back and they cover. What do they do with their chicks? They come with their wings and cover. They protect. So like an eagle's wings, not that you're flying out there with them, the wings were, but with the protection of the eagle's wings, or the protection. Now, what were they being protected by? They knew. The what?
The Egyptians.
Be more specific. Something hovered over them to protect the cloud. The cloud. The cloud was the wind. The wings of an eagle. Why use the eagle? The eagle soars very high, and the eagle sees long distance, and the eagle is able to tell precisely anything that's on the ground, even if it's a squirrel so small you couldn't see it, but he can see it. They have very good eyesight, and they soar high, way above, to protect them. In the case of the cloud, it protected them by day, under the sun, and protected them at night by giving them warmth. Like an eagle's wing or an eagle would when it comes back to its nest and covers up their young. Gives them warmth at night. All right? Because a baby eagle would die without warmth coming from the mother hen. All right? You see the picture now? It's a covering. That's all that means. Now, and Moses, And Moses came and called the elders of the people. Remember those guys that were with him in the first place? And laid before their faces all the words the Lord commanded them, and all the people answered together. That is, the elders said, all the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses returned to the words unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto come to you with a thick cloud, and the people will hear what I speak, and will with thee, and believe thee forever. So Moses told these words to the people. Now, and the story goes on. He says, And the Lord said to Moses, Go into the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. All right. When did he say that to them?
On tomorrow.
Remember, Moses went ahead to open up the water, and the elders are with him. Right? Now they're camping there, and they're camping there at Mount Sinai. Now, it's not yet a Sabbath day. Read very carefully what's going on. We have here the constant order in 3 days. On your calendar, the South Sinai, the fourth day of the third month. They left Rephaim, and now they're camping at Mount Sinai. He says, Now in 3 days, I want you to worship. What do you have the water break for? Why do you bring forth the water? Just for them to have something to drink? Well, he broke forth that water so they would be sanctified. They'd be clean. Their clothes would be clean. Why would he have them clean them on a Friday and on a Saturday and then meet them on a Sunday when he's already hammered in their heads what day you are supposed to rest? To rest to such a point you're not even supposed to pick up a stick. To rest to such a point you're not even supposed to pick up manna. To rest at such a point that you do nothing that day. Why would he have them go up and go out of the way? You know how long it takes to wash your kids? All mothers know this. You know, how long does it take to wash yourself? And wash your clothes? Wash your kids' clothes? Wash your husband's clothes? Now, he says, oh, that's no problem. You know, piece of cake. You just wash it now. By the way, how long does it take? You know you have to prepare for it. You got to prepare for it. There's work to be done. Work to be done. All right. So we see there, they're at Mount Sinai. And he says, now in 3 days, I'm going to talk with them. Why is he going to talk to them in 3 days for? Now, if they landed there on Mount Sinai on the sixth day, which is Sabbath, then 3 days later would be Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, right? Or maybe Monday. Yes, Daniel.
So, basically, what you're saying is that when it says the same day that Egypt's not the day of the month, rather the day of the week.
Day of the week. That's written in Rabbinic. That's written, by the way, in Rabbinic understanding.
Which in this case would be the third of the third month. Is the day.
The third day. Did I say third day, third month?
Yeah, the third of the third month, which is Wednesday. Is the day they actually came to.
I got it on a Thursday. I'll have to come and double check that. Could be. I'll double check that. Maybe it was an error on my part. But you understand what I'm saying right now? There's no way would God, after this length of time, he hasn't even introduced, by the way, the commandments. He hadn't even told them, thou shalt keep the Sabbath. He hadn't even introduced that subject matter to them at all. But he introduced to them the Sabbath by their life. First thing you come in to understand about God is what? Why would he want that to happen? What does God tell us about seven? It's a completion. We'll come to that in a little more detail this afternoon. We do what was called the 50. I know there's a lot of open questions right now. Any open questions? I advise you, if you can, get a hold of my writings that I have. It's online. It's Hillel slash
yeah, H-A-L-L-E-L
E-L
dot
I-N-F-O dot I-N-F-O, yes.
Which ones are you referring to?
What?
Which?
No. On the I have already written, I read three articles about this.
When was the wave sheep offering?
17th.
Why are we unleavened bread?
He's talking about the titles of the talks.
One is called The Journey, and one is called The Seventh Day.
Or, is this the one from last week?
Last week is called The Journey to the Wilderness of Zion, okay. Or Sin.
That's the one. And then in there, it said there was other articles to pick up.
That's the one you'll pick up later. This your last one should be Journey to the Ten.
Got that.
You got that? This should be all there then. If you got them, great, because I try to get online and get them. I got another site altogether. So let's tell you, it works. Okay, it doesn't work for me, Jeff. But, so you probably can get a hold of that information. You got to do some reading. You got to do some research. You got to look into, now the reason why it's important is because there's two meanings that's involved with this day. One of them is, of course, the commandments. Very obvious. And two tablets. All right. We'll get into that this afternoon, a little later on. We need to take a break, huh? Okay, let's take a break.